Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kurchiv.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. It is officially the offseason, and we cannot be more excited. It was a great football season, obviously. I mean, a lot of good things happened. A lot of people said that it was looking like it was going to be one of the most exciting seasons. The Super Bowl was a little anticlimactic, at least in my opinion.
I disagree.
That's my opinion. I didn't ask if you agreed or not, Alex. Anyway.
That's how it is, huh?
but we're happy it's the offseason. We're both big draft guys. We love looking at prospects. So that's something we're really excited to start doing. But in this episode, we have a couple small things planned. First, we're going to do our top 10 players in the league. We each made our own list. I'm sure a lot of the same players are going to be on it, but just interesting thing that we decided to do. And then we want to talk about the 49ers a little bit, just because we both have some things we want to say about their team, about the situation going on with them and their quarterbacks and just everything in general. And then we're going to do a cool segment, worst to first. We're going to go over the worst teams in the AFC this time. Next episode, we'll do NFC, and we're going to look at the teams who finished last in their division, all four of them, in the AFC, and talk about what we would do if we were those teams in terms of drafting, free agency, just everything in general, what the team needs to do to, you know, become a good team next season and years in advance. So that's what we have on the itinerary today. I'm pumped up for this. Let's start out first with our lists. And this is interesting. We didn't put too much thought in this. So, you know, we obviously may have missed a couple guys, but I like my list a lot, and I'm not backing down from these guys. You want me to go first, Alex?
Yeah, you go first, because mine's a lot less structured than yours is, I think.
Fair. Do you want me to go from 10 to 1 or from 1 to 10?
Yeah, let's go 10 to 1.
10 to 1. Okay, 10, extremely hot, extremely hot. This one, it may be the one that you like the least. Number 10, Justin Herbert.
That's
number 9,
okay.
Trent Williams.
Okay.
Number 8, Fred Warner.
Oh, I did not think of him.
Number 7, Jalen Ramsey. Number 6, TJ Watt. Number 5, Devontae Adams. Number 4, Myles Garrett. 3, Aaron Rodgers. 2, Patrick Mahomes. 1, Aaron Donald. And the Warner pick is pretty out there too. I would say Warner, Herbert are out there. The other ones are probably on your list too, at least for the most part. Maybe the order's different or whatever, but I think Donald is the consensus number one still.
Absolutely.
And I think Rodgers, even though he's old, I think he's just so good that I couldn't keep him out of my top five. But I could see how someone could. And Mahomes has to be there too, obviously. So, I mean, I think that's what the list should be. I think you could have snuck in a couple other receivers, maybe a running back if you wanted to, maybe Bakhtiari instead of Trent Williams. But I like my list. So I want to hear what you have.
All right.
Because we were talking beforehand, and we said we may have the same linebacker, but
you
didn't have Fred Warner. So now I want to hear your list.
So my list, like I said, is a lot more unstructured than yours. I have Donald top one and then 9 other dudes. So this is just the order I thought of him in. So it's not exactly up to date. But so I have Donald at number one. Then I have Patrick Mahomes, Trent Williams, Jalen Ramsey, Devontae Adams. I had to put Cooper Kupp in because even though I'm not sure that he's actually a top 3 receiver or a top 10 player in the league, after the season he has had, I had to mention him. So Fair. Then as number 7, I got TJ Watt, and then Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers to have 3 QBs on the list, because that's the top 3 QBs in the league, I'd say, in that order. Even though you have Justin Herbert on there for whatever reason.
Allen's number 4, but okay, continue.
No.
Continue.
No. And then for my last spot at the linebacker, I tried to generally include one of each position, the guys I would say are the definitive best at their position. And for me at linebacker, that's got to be Darius Leonard.
That's the other guy I was thinking
of. Guy is a fiend in coverage and is a tackling machine. And he's the engine that makes that Colts defense go. They don't really have superstars. I'd say DeForest Buckner is very, very good, but I wouldn't call him a superstar on that defensive line. You don't really have your top tier edge rusher that you see with most top defenses, like Nick Bosa, like TJ Watt, even though Pittsburgh wasn't really a top defense this year. And Darius Leonard, even at a position that some could say is almost dying, is one of the top players in the entire league and is consistently there. So Darius Leonard had to be my last player there.
Fair. I was thinking between him and Warner, and I really like Fred Warner. I'm just going to say that. I mean, I don't think he's on most people's top 10 lists, and I understand that. I think I'm higher on him than most people are, but he's definitely a top 20 player, I think, at the very least. So I don't know. That may have been a little bit of a reach by me, but I like it there. And Herbert too. I mean, I'm not going to get into the whole debate, but I think Herbert is a little bit, like a hair better than Josh Allen right now. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a little bit I know you disagree. A lot of people disagree. But I think it's not. They're very close. Even if you think Allen's better, you at least admit that it's extremely close.
I don't know about extremely.
How is it?
I'd say I could without hesitation say that Josh Allen is better than Justin Herbert.
And okay, so I'm just gonna break it down very quickly because we have to talk about other stuff. But you know, Herbert, in terms of talent, arm strength, arm talent, they're pretty much equal.
They're similar.
I'd give
Allen a little bit of an edge, but sure.
Allen's a better runner.
Allen's a better runner.
That is true. That is one thing. But at the same time, Herbert has a higher overall floor than Allen has. He's proved it over the last 2 years. Herbert has some ugly games, but he at least shows up at least at some parts in those games. He's done it continually when he has bad games. Allen has had 5 or 6 real ugly games over the last 2 years. Herbert just hasn't had that. In terms of their heights, I think that at peak performance, obviously we've seen Allen, what he did in the playoffs, but I think Herbert could play as good as Allen can at his best. And this year, Herbert was more efficient in every stat category. He was a better passer. He had better passing numbers. And I think that he's just a little bit better than Allen. But I think I need to see a little bit more next season to justify that. So we'll see. I think I'm ahead of the curve there. We'll see what happens.
I think you're a touch early there. Because, well, first of all, I don't think Herbert's ever going to pass Josh Allen. I think they'll be neck and neck, but just like, here's Allen and here's Herbert. My hands are literally touching right now. So
I mean, that's fair. I think a lot of that has to do with how the Chargers adapt to the offseason,
yeah,
to making a new team that could actually be successful.
I think
that could actually block the run this year.
You have to consider that Justin Herbert has a far better run game than Allen has ever had.
Josh Allen is the run game.
Is the run game, yeah. But
yes, I mean,
like, has a lot more support from his running backs than Josh Allen does.
Yeah, but I mean, Herbert's had a worse O-line and a much worse defense with worse coaching. So, I mean, it's just, you could argue either way. We don't have to get all into this because it's not the main conversation. But Allen and Herbert are both fantastic quarterbacks who will be great for the next decade plus. So that's really all I have to say about that. And those are our top 10 lists. I hope you enjoyed. That was, you know, a pretty quick thing that we just decided to do spur of the moment, but I liked it. So you have a good list, Alex. But next,
I can't say the same about you.
Come on, man. Come on. let's segue. I put 2 Niners on my top 10 lists, Fred Warner and Trent Williams. Let's segue into some Niners talk. I obviously like the Niners. You've been preaching that the Niners are the team. I mean, before the season, you were so high on them. And I didn't believe you, and they made the NFC Championship game. So I know that you're a big Trey Lance guy. I like him too. I want to hear your take on this. What is your opinion on the Niners quarterback situation at this current moment and what we've been hearing in the news about Jimmy G?
Well, not having seen Trey Lance practice and all, only having seen him in a game or two, I can't really definitively say much about how Trey Lance has progressed since being drafted, but as a huge Trey Lance supporter pre-draft and, you know, in that off season, I do think that Trey Lance was always projected to sit this year and then take the reins over for Jimmy G next year, which I still think is going to happen. But with the playoffs and how far Jimmy G took them, I think that maybe you can start having a debate also with rumblings that Trey Lance isn't as far ahead as everyone thinks he is, that maybe they could keep Jimmy and then have Trey Lance maybe take over mid-year or, you know, however long, depending on how he's progressing. But at the same time, I think that could all be smoke. And I still think at the end of the day, Jimmy's getting traded and Trey Lance is going to start this next season and for the foreseeable future.
I think I agree with you there. We've known that Trey Lance was going to be raw from the start, mm-hmm. just from the fact that he missed a year, you know, with COVID and everything happening. I really don't see a way that Jimmy G opens up the season as the starter. I mean, it could happen, but I think he's getting traded. I agree with you there. I think he's off the team and they're going to roll with Trey Lance. He'll be the starter. It just depends on when it happens, but I think it'll be at the start of next season.
Me too.
And you know, one thing, I think the Niners are a very interesting team because they have a lot of great players. Debo obviously had that breakout year this mm-hmm. year. Kittle is arguably the best tight end in the league just with his blocking and receiving ability, although he does have injury concerns. You have, you know, Elijah Mitchell had a great rookie year. On defense, you have Bosa, you obviously Warner. Just some great pieces overall. Good coaching staff. What do you think it'll take for the Niners to win their division this year, Alex?
I mean, it's kind of obvious to me. It just depends on how Trey Lance plays because either if he's ready, then they're a fantastic team if they can manage to get a corner or two from the draft because their secondary was extremely weak this season to me, or rather the corner specifically. And if Trey Lance is ready and all he's hyped up to be, then I think they'll win their division. Or if he's not ready and they prematurely trade Jimmy G, then they could suck and go 5-11. So it's I don't know that there's there's obviously a middle ground because if he's all right, then they'll go 9-7 or whatever. And it's all dependent on Trey Lance's success as a quarterback. He is the key. And I think that he was the perfect fit for the Niners because at North Dakota State, he ran a lot of plays under center, more so than any other quarterback in that class. They run a lot of play action and they run the ball a lot. And also the big underrated thing for Trey Lance is that he called his own audibles in college, which you don't see that a lot from college QBs. So he was thought to be a little more mentally pro ready and it's just the mechanics that needed fixing and the ability to maybe read the field a little bit. So with an off season, two off seasons and a full season to learn that, I would look to get a big season from Trey Lance this year, especially that second year with the first year starting. He has all the physical traits and I'm a big fan. I'm a little biased, but you know.
Yeah, I agree with the sentiments of what you were saying there. And for me, I mean, I just want to add on, I think one of the main factors is just the team staying healthy. That's something that they haven't, you know, a lot of their stars have just been hurt the last couple of years. And it's one of those things, like as an Eagles fan, that happened to us when we were good in 2017, 2018, those years, 2019, even all our star players just couldn't stay healthy. I mean, and so in a division that's that good, that's probably my main thing. I think even if Trey Lance starts off slow, I think the Niners will be fine as long as people stay healthy. You know, you saw with Jimmy G. I don't think Jimmy G is a great quarterback.
No. Nope.
To me, I mean,
he's just a game manager.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. You know, he's not bad by any means, but he doesn't elevate the team at all. So even if Trey Lance comes out and is just meh first year or two, I think if the Niners stay healthy, that they are going to make the playoffs or at least be in a position to be a winning team. So that's just my thoughts on that. Obviously, there's more things we could talk about, but I think we pretty much covered what we wanted to with the 49ers. It's going to be interesting to see what they could do next year, especially being in the same division as, you know, the Rams, who just won the Super Bowl, and as the Cardinals, who are looking to make a bounce back and maybe get further this year with Kyler. So, you know, just something to think about. But I think let's move on to the worst to first segment. We're going to do AFC. And this is something we're both really excited about. I could already tell. I'm hyped for this. Get to talk about the worst teams in each division. And we'll start out with the New York Jets. Alex, do you want to talk or start talking about the Jets?
I will happily go ahead and talk about the Jets. So the Jets were obviously last place in their division. They went 4-13. And they are in a very competitive division. You have the Bills, who are obviously perennial contenders as long as they have Josh Allen healthy. You have the Patriots, who are perennial contenders as long as they have Bill Belichick. Maybe not contenders, but they're a playoff team easily. And so that leaves you at maximum third best in your division, no matter what. So you obviously got to get a little lucky. Maybe get some injuries to your rivals. You got to get a huge jump from Zach Wilson as your quarterback and definitely get a big infusion of talent this year. So I don't see a real path for them going worse the first next year. But for the purpose of this exercise, we're just going to say that this is going to be the best offseason they can have. And to me, the big holes on the Jets are on the defense. They got lit up on defense this year. The Patriots put up 50 on them, I think, one week. And so what you're really going to do is look to target defense. Your biggest free agent is going to be Marcus May, but you also have some important players such as Keelan Cole, Braxton Berrios, and Jamison Crowder, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif as free agents. So you're probably going to look to re-sign most of those guys, but I don't think you're going to be re-signing Marcus May. All signs point to him leaving. He's been in trade rumors for the last however many years. It seems like he's always in trade rumors, and it just seems like he's ready to move on. So you're down one of the better safeties in the NFL, and you got to get some new defensive backs to me, because your starting corners at this rate are Brandon Echols and Bryce Hall, which that's not going to cut it in the league with Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp. So in free agency, in the defensive backfield, since you're losing Marcus May and your corners are very lackluster, you could look to get some big names like Stephon Gilmore or Marcus Williams or Kyle Fuller. But you have to consider that this is a last place team. It's the Jets, not exactly a big destination, so they're probably not going to go to you. So then you start looking at the second tier. You got guys like Kevin King, Xavier Rhodes, Anthony Harris for the Eagles. And I don't know. None of those names really excite me that much. I think Kevin King could be a solid pickup. See if he can grow away from the Packers. So I would look to do that. Maybe a linebacker you could look to target, such as Anthony Barr, Dont'a Hightower, Anthony Hitchens are the top three. They're not really that exciting either. Anthony Barr is good, but he's getting older. Leighton Vander Esch is a free agent. He could be a big pickup. Maybe if he gets back to his pre-injury status, kind of iffy. So generally, you're going to be looking to improve through the draft. Now, luckily for the Jets, they have picks 4 and 10. So that's going to be where you're going to get your big defensive talent. At number 4 overall, they're in a prime position to get Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame at safety to replace your Marcus Williams or Marcus May. And Kyle Hamilton, I'd say, is pretty much the best player in the whole draft, regardless of position. He's athletic. He has the size. He's the prototypical linebacker slash safety, but more of a safety. And he's blazing fast, but he does have a little bit of injury concerns. Not really big though, but it's a slam dunk there, because you have to assume that the Jaguars are going to take a tackle or a defensive end, and the Lions are going to take the other defensive end. And then the Texans are going to take the other tackle or defensive end, whoever's left. Your top three is going to be Evan Neal, Aiden Hutchinson, and probably Kayvon Thibodeau or Ike Mukwonu. So Kyle Hamilton is most likely going to be there for you at 4. So I'd say you take him. And then at 10, you have another opportunity to get a great corner in Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati. He's the top corner of this draft. And with the expected run on edge rushers and tackles in the early top 10, Sauce Gardner is most likely going to be there for you. And he's going to be a real physical corner and has all the length you want in a corner. So that's going to be your two picks at 4 and 10.
I like a lot of what you said, and I'm not going to try to, you know, I agree with a lot of you said, so I'm going to try not to talk about what you just talked about. But I do agree that, you know, in that such a hard division, you know, I think they're the fourth best team in that division, and it's going to stay like that for at least another year or two. I actually like the Dolphins a lot for next year. I mean, that's surprising, but I think Tua is going to have his best year of his career maybe next year, and then drop off after that. That's a hot take. I'm not going to talk more about that, but
drop off after that, I don't see that happening.
That's my opinion anyway. the Jets have the fifth most amount of cap space as of right now. They have $48 million to work with. Like I said, fifth most, that's pretty good. There's a lot of good free agents, although If I'm the Jets, I would take more of a Bengals approach this year. I'm not going to go after the big guys. I'm going to go after some more veterans who you could get on smaller contracts to kind of just fill the main holes that you need to fill, because this isn't a one-year rebuild process. This is something that's going to take a lot of time. One guy in particular, you talked a lot about a lot of guys that I like, but I like Darius Williams. I think he would be, if he doesn't get re-signed, I think he would be a great free agent to get. But there's also, like you said, Gilmore. There's, a lot of good linebackers. Hassan Reddick, maybe, although he may be a little expensive. Just have to see what happens there. But I like a lot of those guys. They also could look to get a Davante Adams or a Mike Williams. I'm not saying they should, but they definitely do need to improve their weapons at some point. Maybe not this year, but at some point, if they ever want Zach Wilson to take it to that next level. So those are, some rumors. And then with draft picks, I do like what you said. In my opinion, I think that at 10, they want to get a corner. But at that 4 pick, like you said, if Kyle Hamilton's there, you got to take him. He's the best safety in the draft, maybe the best player. And Ike Ekwonu, if he's not there, I would probably take Ike Ekwonu. They do need to improve that offensive line. Yes, he is a tackle. He is a tackle, but Ike Ekwonu could really improve that offensive line. You could put him at right tackle or right guard, and he could be an improvement. And I really like him. I think he's a great player. Also, if they can't get Sauce Gardner or Ekwonu or Kyle Hamilton for some reason, another guy I like a lot that they could probably get who would still be there is David Ojabo. He's a edge guy, but he would definitely improve that defense from day one. So those are just some of the options I think that would be nice for the Jets.
I think that also maybe if all those guys that you said are not there, or maybe they're too low on their draft board, I think that they could look to address the offense and the weapons and get Drake London at that top 10 spot, the 10th spot, I should say. He's that kind of prototypical big number one receiver that you want. Little bit of speed concerns, and these not so fast guys that are big contested catch guys don't exactly have the best track record in the last couple of years. But Drake London, every player is different, obviously. Drake London looks to be a better prospect than most of these guys that I'm referring to, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or N'Keal Harry. And Drake London seems to be the best one, and he's a really good fit next to someone like an Elijah Moore. So if he's there and he's high on your draft board as the Jets, I don't see why you wouldn't take him.
Fair. I like Drake London. One thing I want to say, Zach Wilson, he had a rough, very up and down year. Jets didn't really give him much to work with, but there were some bright spots towards the end of the season. I wasn't super high on him coming in, but he showed me a little bit of promise. I think if they could build the team around him, he could be the franchise guy. He has the talent for it. I just think they really need to do the right things this offseason. That's why it's so important to evaluate and make a plan like we're doing right now. If you're the Jets, this is an opportunity to have a franchise quarterback who could lead your team for a long time, because he's a talented kid. And same thing, Elijah Moore looked great last year. The Jets would really screw up if they can't somehow get Elijah Moore over 1,000 yards receiving next year, because he's that good. He should be getting the ball that much.
Michael Carter looks to be your running back for the next 3 years.
Exactly. They've done a real good job this year at getting some nice offensive weapons.
So draft class was a slam dunk to me.
It was. Vera Tucker, too, just – they did a lot good last year. So just looking to build up on to that would just be a huge win for the Jets and for Jets fans in general. They haven't had success in a while. So, anything else you got?
On the Jets?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Awesome. So for the next one, the next team we're moving on to is the Baltimore Ravens, which is crazy to say because I had them as my, a team in the Super Bowl before the season started. So it's crazy that they were the worst in their division. It was pretty close. If Lamar played, they probably wouldn't have been first in the division if he didn't miss those 5 games. But still, Ravens are worse in their division. And they go into the offseason with some things to improve, although injuries really derailed their season. Oh, yeah. I think that next year they will be a much stronger team. And so the Ravens are the best team that we're talking about today by far. They have $8 million in cap space. Not great, but it's towards the middle of the league, maybe a little bit bottom. They're probably not going to be getting too many free agents, but could get a couple. In terms of their own free agents, let's see who they have. You know, I think they're looking to re-sign most of their guys. But when it comes to free agents, as of right now, the guys who that they have who are going to be incoming free agents are Calais Campbell, who I don't think that they're going to re-sign. He's 35. Brandon Williams, Sammy Watkins, Pat Ricard, and, you know, Latavius Murray Freeman, a couple other guys who don't really matter. Besides Calais Campbell.
That's a little rude.
I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of filler here.
Tyler Huntley. Don't forget Tyler Huntley.
I guess that is true. I mean, Tyler Huntley is a free agent. I don't know if they're going to re-sign him. He could get a lot of money somewhere else. He looked pretty good this year. But when it comes down to it, I mean, they don't have many great free agents. Calais Campbell's old. He's probably going to want to play on a different team next year. And I think they're going to sign Ricard back, maybe Brandon Williams back, even though he's 33. Actually, probably not Brandon Williams. We'll see. But in general, I don't think free agency is a big thing for the Ravens at this point. More so, in my opinion, I think is the draft, just trying to hit on the picks that they have. They have pick number 14. That could be prime position to get a good corner. Derek Stingley Jr. Could still be there for them. Stingley has his bad moments, but if they could land a guy like that to improve that secondary, that would be huge for them. You know, you saw this year they had some injuries in the secondary, and we saw how that went. I mean, they were just getting torched by good quarterbacks and good receivers every week. So getting a guy like Stingley will just, I mean, make it so much harder for teams to torch the Ravens. And just in general, I think, you know, just continue to build the team around Lamar. I mean, he is the most important player on this team. You know, I think in free agency, if they have a chance, I think they need to improve the offense a little bit. I do think it'll be better, but I still think that he needs a better receiver than Hollywood Brown and Rashad Bateman. I think he needs a true number one receiver, which I don't think either of them are right now. I'm not saying going after a guy who's like, you know, Davante Adams level.
Have the money for it.
Just in the draft, whatever they can, they have enough money to get a guy who can be an upgrade from Hollywood Brown, in my opion.
You have $8 million in cap space.
We need to do it at some point. They'll free up some more.
And so to talk about what you mentioned, they're losing a lot of defensive line and edge rushers. So in free agency, you know, noting that you don't have much money, guys you're going to be looking at, you're probably looking at Dante Fowler, who just got cut, Hassan Reddick maybe, Jayon Brown at linebacker, Malik Jackson, Sheldon Richardson, not really top guys, but definitely you can fill out your roster with guys like that. And then I would personally look to draft a defensive lineman in the first round, an edge rusher like David Ojabo that you talked about, maybe a George Karloftis, maybe even look to get a linebacker like a Nakobe Dean, but not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to do that. That's not as big of a priority as an edge rusher. Maybe a Jermaine Johnson from Florida State. But I think that you have to address that defensive line, because otherwise you're going to be getting ran on all day. Guys are going to have all day to pass on you, even if you have those great corners in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. Your safeties are good with Chuck Clark. Chuck Clark is a very good safety. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the defensive line, then your defense can't be successful. And they don't have the defensive line, especially with guys like Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, and Josh Bynes hitting free agency. That's three starters on your defensive line that you need to either re-sign or replace. So defensive line is the priority in Baltimore.
Okay. Anything else you want to say, or can we move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I don't think you really have the opportunity to probably demote Hollywood and Bateman down a spot with a really true alpha number one. You don't have the money or the draft asset to do that. So unless they come out of nowhere and sign AB because he's Hollywood's cousin, then I don't see that situation improving.
I mean, they might not figure something out immediately, but I think if they want to succeed, that's something they're going to have to do.
I agree. You have to hope that he becomes a true number one receiver. Because at this point, I think it's clear that Hollywood isn't and won't become one.
Bateman. I like Bateman a lot. I don't think he's a true number one receiver. Hollywood's fast, but he has drop issues.
He's not a number one guy. He's great to have as your number two or number three. Or number two, I'll call him. Because
they could get by one more year with a great rushing attack. Lamar can continue running. Dobbins will be back healthy. Gus Edwards will be back. I mean,
at the end of the day, if this team is even a little more healthy than they were last year, we're talking about a 10-11 win team.
Yeah.
And not a last place team in the division. So there's not that much that you can say about the Ravens. We're nitpicking here on the receivers, and no, the defensive line is important.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll take us into our next team.
Fair.
We're going to go every other here. So we're going in a little bit of a global order. We're going east, north. Actually, no, we're not. But so next we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is the worst team in the NFL. Well, them and the Lions, I think, had the same record. But no, they didn't. What am I talking? They both had the same wins. So Jacksonville Jaguars, they fired their coach Urban Meyer midseason, and they have a million holes on this roster. But on the bright side, you have Trevor Lawrence, the former number one pick, and you have the number one pick again this year. And you have oodles of money to spend on whoever you want to. So the only position that you don't have holes at is like defensive line and quarterback. Oh, and running back, thanks to Urban Meyer, who, even though he had one of the better running backs in the NFL last season in James Robinson, he still decided to take Travis Etienne out of Clemson with his first round pick last year. So definitely don't have to worry about that spot next year. And your biggest free agents are going to be DJ Chark, Cam Robinson, Andrew Norwell. And that's pretty much it. You don't really have many good players besides that. So your cornerstones, you're looking at Josh Allen on the defensive line out of Kentucky. I don't know why I'm saying that. He's been in the league for a few years now. But outside of that, you completely gutted your whole team after making an AFC championship game. But you hired a new coaching staff headlined by Doug Peterson. He has Press Taylor as his offensive coordinator, who I'm not the biggest fan of after seeing his work in Philadelphia, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that was a toxic situation with a not very good quarterback. So if Doug Peterson can look to improve Trevor Lawrence, well, not if he can, he's going to look to improve Trevor Lawrence. So I think you're going to be taking a big swing at Davante Adams this season. He's unlikely to come here, but you have to give him the offer. You have to give him that ridiculous money that he wants, and maybe he'll make Trevor Lawrence one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL in his second year and come in with that, potential, the generational prospect that everybody called him. If that fails, then you're going to be looking to get Chris Godwin. I think the biggest thing for the Jaguars is weapons, weapons, weapons. And you're going to be looking to get him receivers, tight end. You might even look to get multiple receivers. You're going to look to get a Chris Godwin, maybe an Allen Robinson reunion, but then also probably there's not really that many receivers that are on the lower tier. Josh Reynolds, you could look to get. He could be a decent pickup. And then you're just looking at all the top free agents. If you can give them enough money to where they'll come to your team, then this rebuild could get really accelerated. You have the first overall pick, but no more than that. Actually, yeah, you only have the first overall pick. And honestly, I might look to trade down. You could replace Cam Robinson with an Evan Neal out of Alabama. He's a massive person and can be Trevor Lawrence's blindside protector for the next few years. But outside of that, if you trade down and you could get another first round pick, but I don't see anybody really trading to get number one overall. I don't see any of these dudes that are at the top of the draft board being worth trading up to get number one overall. So you're probably going to be stuck with the number one overall pick and go with either Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, or Evan Neal. I think personally, it's going to have to be Evan Neal because of how much priority you're going to put into fixing Trevor Lawrence and getting him to be one of the top quarterbacks. So you're looking to get all the top free agents with all the money. I'm looking at Von Miller, Brandon Scherff, Allen Robinson, Chandler Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Stephon Gilmore. All these dudes, to be competitive early on, you're going to have to sign a lot of free agents and hit on all your draft picks. It's pretty much what it comes down to. They need everybody.
I honestly think that out of all the teams that we're talking about, the Jaguars have the easiest position here because I don't think they have – their division's not that hard, in my opinion.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that.
The Titans are a strong team. I mean, they were the first seed in the AFC. But at the same time, I thought that they were pretenders the whole year. And, I mean, they lost to the Bengals.
They were.
Yeah, and I still think they are pretenders. I don't think the Titans are going to get much better next year than they were this year. So I think things are going to open up, especially the Colts. You know, we talked about losing Wentz and that whole situation last week. I mean, if the Colts don't have a competent quarterback, this division is completely open for the Jaguars to make a surprise run in the next year or two. I'm not saying it's going to happen. There's a lot that needs to, you know, change. Doug Peterson's going to have to do a complete, you know, culture change if he wants things to go down well.
I think that's the one thing you can bet on from Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of him. I'm not a big fan, but that is the one thing you can count on him for.
I like him as a coach. I mean, he does have his issues as an Eagles fan. He has his issues. The ending wasn't pretty with him, but I can definitely see the Jaguars turning things around with him. I like what you said about receiver. I don't think Davante Adams wants to go there. I don't think they're getting Davante Adams. Now, they definitely should go after Chris Godwin, Mike Williams. If Mike Williams hits free agency, look for Mike Williams. If, you know, there's another guy like Christian Kirk. If Christian Kirk is not re-signed, which I don't think he will be because I think he wants to be on a different team. He doesn't like all the competition for targets that he's going to have in Arizona. I think Christian Kirk would be a great fit. I think he's a great young receiver. He's easily better than Chenault at this point. Marvin Jones is old. I think Christian Kirk would take over that number one spot. And we don't look at him as a number one receiver, but I think he's capable of being a number one target, potentially. I'm not sure yet. But
Go for it.
Yeah, and then when it comes to draft picks, I do like what you said. I don't think they're going to be able to trade down. I think they have to take Evan Neal.
Yep.
Evan Neal would be great for just protecting Lawrence in general. But then also in free agency, I think you just have to go for Tyrann Mathieu, go after maybe another linebacker. I like Miles Jack, but they really don't have much going on defense.
No.
You know, that secondary is atrocious. Like I said, if you can't get Tyrann Mathieu, you got to get another safety at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the draft or in free agency. And, you know, they have the money to do it. They have the second most. They have $56 million as of right now, and I'm sure they'll free up a little bit more. So, really, whatever they want to do, they can do. They just need to get it done. And I think that they'll figure some things out, get the defense better than it is right now.
Yeah, the one thing I forgot to mention is with the receivers, I think that one of the most likely picks in the entire draft is – with the first pick in the second round, Jahan Dotson out of Penn State to the Jaguars. Because I'm like, if he makes it out of the first round, there's no way that he makes it past both Jacksonville and Detroit because they're both severely lacking a receiver. And I think Jacksonville will be the one to take him at 33rd overall.
I don't think he's making out the first round, but I would like that pick a lot if they could get him. So yeah, I do like that.
Blazing fast receiver.
Yes.
Except with actual talent as opposed to KJ Hamler, who is kind of similar coming out of the same college. It's a lazy comparison, but you know, you got to make
it. Okay. You ready to talk about the Broncos? You have anything else you want to say?
No, I think the we went from one team that needs almost nothing to another team that needs everything.
So, yeah, pretty much.
There's not as much of a definitive trail for Jacksonville to become a competitive team as there is for a Baltimore.
I agree there.
And the Denver, as I will mention once you.
let's get into Denver. So Denver is a team that we've talked about a lot. We both did not like Denver very much this year, mostly for the fact that just their quarterback situation is awful. Teddy Bridgewater is not good quarterback, and Drew Lock is definitely not a good quarterback. So their main focus is finding a quarterback this offseason. And we've heard for the last couple months, Broncos fans, everyone talking about Aaron Rodgers potentially going to the Broncos. A lot of people think they're a quarterback away. I think if they get Rodgers, then yeah, maybe they can make something happen. But if they can't get a Rodgers level quarterback, I can't see them winning the division over the Chiefs, maybe even over the Chargers, who are probably going to improve a lot this year. I think a lot more needs to be done. But when you look at the offense, it's pretty good right now. They have a good receiving core. Jerry Jeudy, obviously, had a somewhat disappointing year, but he's a great receiver. Same with Courtland Sutton. With a competent quarterback, maybe they could get something done. The O-line isn't great. It's okay. It has some good players, but that's one part, one area that I think that the Broncos are definitely going to target in free agency and in the draft. And then their defense is really their strong suit, especially their secondary. You look at Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons. They have a lot of good young players there. And so I think they're, you know, mainly going to be targeting some defensive line potentially. Maybe, you know, more specifically, I think offensive line is going to be one of their main targets, and quarterback, obviously, looking into this offseason. When you look at where they are at cap space, they're at $38 million, which ranks, I think, seventh in terms of all teams in the league, which is pretty good. They have the money to work with. They already have a lot of their offense figured out, skill positions figured out, at least for the next couple of years, secondary figured out. So they don't really have to worry about any of that. You know, so I really think that they could make some splash moves if they wanted to in certain positions. But more specifically, I think that their number one priority should be seeing if Aaron Rodgers is going back to the Packers. And if he's not, then they should be all in for him, because I can't see a situation where they win the division without someone like Aaron Rodgers steering the ship. I don't think their team is good enough yet for like a mid-level quarterback. Like I'm saying, like Jimmy Garoppolo, even like a Kirk Cousins. I don't think Kirk Cousins would win the division if he was on the Broncos right now.
I agree.
So, I mean, I think if they are trying to win the division and are really trying to make this team a potential contender, they need to get Aaron Rodgers. And if not, you know, some people were talking about maybe them being one of the teams who drafts a quarterback. Yeah. They have the 9th overall pick. Definitely, you know, Kenny Pickett's probably going to be there. Mm-hmm. Matt Corral, a guy who I like a lot, who probably going to go 10. Later, is not definitely going to be there. I'm just saying, I mean, they have, you know, they have the pick to potentially get a quarterback. I don't think they'll take one at number 9 overall. I think they'll probably go edge there. Like I said, I mean, I think that they need to go edge or offensive line. Some guys that they could get, I mean, there's a lot of good edge. We already talked about Karlaftis. I think one guy who's even better than Karlaftis is Jermaine Johnson. Yep. They could get him at that number 9 pick. Then, you know, I also talked about Ojabo. I like Ojabo almost as much as I like Johnson as of right now. So, yep. I mean, you know, they could get any of those three guys or offensive line if any of those guys fall, who we talked about earlier. But yeah, they'll have their pick of the litter there at 9 with a lot of good players. And potential quarterback, Rodgers, Pickett, you know, any of the older veterans that are in free agency or that they could potentially trade for, they're going to need to, because Bridgewater and Locke are not cutting it anymore. No, and that's
Bridgewater's a free agent too.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying in general, you know, the Locke and Bridgewater would not cut it for another year. They need to go after another quarterback.
All right, so to me, here's your definitive path for the Broncos to become a contender. Plan A, Aaron Rodgers. Plan B, yep. Russell Wilson. Plan C, Deshaun Watson.
If none Wilson of those- and Watson, I just want to say, I don't think those two are – I mean, they could happen, but I don't think that Wilson or Watson would want to go there.
Any
just for what we've heard.
I think both of them have said that they would accept a trade there.
I mean –
maybe I'm mistaken, but any one of those three guys makes you an instant contender.
Yep.
With the team you have set up. If that fails, so if they get any one of those guys, it's not worth mentioning the draft because they have to give up their pick to get him anyway. But if that fails, I don't know that you want to look at a Jimmy G or a Kirk Cousins, like you said, because that doesn't really do much for you. So plan B would be getting Kenny Pickett at 9th overall or trading up for him. I've seen mocks that have them trading up for him, but Kenny Pickett is your plan D. And honestly, I think that would be your most likely situation here, because you passed on your quarterback last year. You didn't draft Justin Fields as many thought they should have. You're not likely to get one of those three big guys that are looking to be that look to be available this year. So I think it's finally time to draft your quarterback and draft a consensus top quarterback. Even in a down year for QBs draft wise, you still have to do it. You did have some valid concerns with the defensive line and the edge rushers, which I agree with you, but then you're going to have to look at a guy in either the second round or the 3rd and 4th if you're trading for a guy, because you're probably going to have to give up your 2nd too. But generally, it's a QB away for Denver, and I see them being in a pretty good position to get a QB this year.
I agree. And I do want to say one thing. I did say Pickett. I actually have the Panthers taking Pickett right now.
I could see it.
So, I mean, I don't know if Pickett will be available at 9. Like you said, I think they might have to trade up if they want Pickett as their guy. But if not, then Corral, Willis, you know, whichever other quarterback they like, if they like any of the others, because it's a weak class, who knows, they could definitely get at some point, maybe definitely later than 9 probably, but who knows.
I think Willis is going to go high.
I mean, yeah, teams are going to reach on quarterback, teams that need quarterback, because a lot need it. Even though the quarterback class isn't that strong, it's just going to be one of those years. Teams need it. So they could be one of the teams who reaches on quarterback. But I agree, Rodgers, if they could somehow get Wilson or Watson as an alternate, any of those three guys, the Broncos are automatically going to make the playoffs. And I think that they could win the division with one of those guys. They're that good of a team right now.
Yeah. You have to consider that it's a really difficult division. The Raiders were a playoff team this year. The Chargers probably should have been a playoff team, not to mention the Chiefs, who just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago and have been to the AFC Championship this past year and were in the Super Bowl last year. But
yeah,
another thing to be considered is they hired Nathaniel Hackett, who was an offensive-minded head coach. Rodgers connections aside, your offense is probably going to be a lot more competent than it was last year under Vic Fangio as head coach. Your defense might take a little bit of a hit because of how good of a defensive coordinator Vic Fangio is, but your offense, I think you can definitively say that it's going to take a leap no matter who your quarterback is. With the talent you have Javonte Williams at running back. You have Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Tim Patrick / KJ Hamler, who could make a leap, even though I just talked bad about him literally 2 minutes ago. You have the talent there. Noah Fant could make a leap with Nathaniel Hackett at head coach. And so it really comes down to quarterback for Denver, which they haven't been able to get quarterback right since 2013 when they signed Peyton Manning, where that's the key. And if you get one of those big guys, you're a contender. If you don't, you're not.
I think you're forgetting about Brock Osweiler there.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, no, but I agree exactly with what you said. They have the offensive pieces. Williams is a beast. I think Judy's going to have a breakout year if everything works right with Hackett and with a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. Defense, we talked about secondary. Pat Sertan's a beast. Justin Simmons is a beast. You still have some great players. Justin Bradley Simmons Chubb.
Free agent. That's not free. No, he's not. I don't know why I said that.
But, they have the players. I mean, they're missing the stars. They're missing the guy who's going to take the team to that next level. And
exactly.
You know, I don't think they're going to get it, but yeah, that's their number one priority for me. And we'll just have to see how that turns out. But I think that's it. You have anything else you want to talk about the Broncos?
I think that we should mention who is our most likely pick for worst to first out of these teams. And I think there's only really two in contention, because Jets and Jacksonville, you're looking at more of a long shot. Like the long game. And so to me, out of these teams, the most likely worst to first is going to be Baltimore, just because of how ready their team is and how much more likely it is that they get the player they need. But I could also very well see Denver. And yeah, I think that Baltimore is more ready. Outside, like I said, outside of the injuries, they were almost an 11-12 win team last season, and they could very easily make zero improvements and still see a 3-4 win increase.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Baltimore is the best team out of the four, and they're the only team that I think is in contention right now. The other three have a lot to work on still. Still a lot of improvements to be made, but I like what we talked about. I think that all four of those teams have a chance to potentially, go worst to first in the next couple of years. You just never know. There's a lot of talent on all teams. They all have, a decent enough chance at getting more talent with, their draft capital, with free agency. So we'll have to see. I think that wraps it up. That's everything. Thank you so much for listening. I mean, like I said, this season was crazy. A lot of good stuff happened, but the off season is going to be even crazier for this podcast. We're going to talk about a lot of things, players, rankings, draft, everything. And I'm really excited to get into it. I'm already excited for next season. I know how crazy that sounds. But yeah, I mean, stay tuned in. We'll have new content every single week. So if you're missing football, just come to us. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool topics. And we can't wait to dig even further into this off-season stuff.
Yeah. So that's it. I'm going to close this out here. Instead of Michael, the usual, I'm going to close this out. So I'm going to go with the signature line too. I'm going to go with the old bye-bye. So with that being said, bye-bye.